Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf Ches Chulin 128. In today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara records a teaching of Rabbi Akiva by his student Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda talks about how he reflected on Rabbi Akiva's teaching and argued with it, and we see Rabbi Akiva's response to this. So says Rabbi Yehuda, Kachaya Rabbi Akiva Shona, that Rabbi Akiva used to teach us the following: Chelev, if you have the chelev, the fat of a chaya, of an animal, where generally speaking of a behemoth, the chelev is not permitted, but of a chaya, it's permitted if the animal is slaughtered, shechuta, so if it's slaughtered, bakafarm, if this was in a village, where even the Rashi gives a couple of interpretations here. The first interpretation is that in a village, even the non-Jewish people did not have the practice of eating the chelev, because they had plenty of meat to eat, and this chelev was not something that was desirable, because the people in the villages were very small, and so they had a lot of meat, and so therefore they wouldn't eat the chelev at all. However, in the cities where the people were numerous and they didn't have enough meat, then they would eat this chelev under dire circumstances. That's what Rashi says. Rashi gives another interpretation, that the Gemara is not referring to chelev that is prohibited to eat, but it's referring to shuman, that the people of the cities, because they were very wealthy, then therefore they would eat this chelev, but the people in the villagers were very poor and they would not eat this, not chelev, which is generally forbidden, but it's the shuman, which is the fat, which generally speaking is not desirable meat. So the people of the villagers who were poor, they wouldn't eat it. So anyway, we're talking about a part of the animal which is not generally speaking eaten, and so therefore it's not going to be considered food, and since it's not food, it's not able to impart ritual impurity. However, says Rabbi Akiva, tzarach machshava, you need to think about it. I mean to say, in order to feed it to a person who's not Jewish, in order to say that it's capable of imparting tumah as a food item, you need to have intent to say that it's a food item. But if you wouldn't have intent, then it would not be considered able to impart tumah. However, Rabbi Akiva says ve'ein tzarach hechsher. But it does, generally speaking, in order for a food item to be able to impart ritual impurity, it needs what's called hechsher. It needs to have, let's say, water come upon it first. But in this case, Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't need hechsher shekvar huchsher b'shlita, because we say that from the fact that it was slaughtered, there was blood involved in the slaughter, or the slaughter itself is of the value that it's able to make something hukshar l'shchita. And so even though the hukshar happened before the intent happened, nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva is saying that it's considered like it's hukshar l'kabal tumah on the basis of the slaughter, because the hukshar happened even before the intent. So Rabbi Yehuda immediately challenge him. He says, "V'amarti lefanav, I said before my teacher Rabbi Akiva, how could it be that the shchita was able to make this chelev hukshar l'kabal tumah, capable of contracting tumah? Because limaratanu rabenu, because he said we've learned already ulshin, which is a type of bitter vegetable like an endives, shelikdan, which you uprooted them from the ground, vehedichan lebehema, and then you washed them off in order to feed them to an animal, meaning to say they since they were intended at that point to contract tumah, but you wash them for an animal. That in order for it to contract tumah, it needs to be something that's intended for a human. And so even though you wash it, that's not going to be hukshar l'kabal tumah. And then if after it dries, nimlach alei, and you changed your mind, la'adam tzrichos hechsher sheni. If after you wash them with the intent to give them to an animal, you let them dry off, and then you're intending for a person, it's not enough to say, well, I already wet these things once, even though it's for an animal, and therefore we take the power of it being wet once, and we transfer it onto your intent for it being a human. Because we don't say that the first washing was sufficient. And if that's the case, so too here by the chelev that was slaughtered and found in the village, we shouldn't say that the shchita is going to be machshir to achieve tumah, because we should say that since the intent happened after it was slaughtered, it should require a new hechsher in order to be able to contract tumah. That's the response that Rabbi Yehuda gave to his teacher Rabbi Akiva. And when Rabbi Akiva heard this, chazer Rabbi Akiva lioshonek Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Akiva did an unbelievable thing. He said, you know what, my student is right. And Rabbi Akiva changed his mind and said the law is like Rabbi Yehuda. So, and then he started teaching it like Rabbi Yehuda. This is a powerful thing, that the commentaries explain that. Why was it so powerful? Because actually, what Rabbi Akiva could have done, he could have found a way to answer that question. He could have stuck to his position. He could have come up with a teretz to Rabbi Yehuda's point, and yet he didn't do that. He recognized that. And so this is the idea of a powerful teacher is not one who insists that they're always right, but one who is able to make the space for the students' arguments. And Rashbatz writes in Magen Avos about that which they said, who is a chacham? It says a chacham is somebody who's moda al emes, because the Rambam explains in his commentary to Pirkei Avos that even if he has arguments that he can make and make a stubborn position to stick with his position, the true chacham is somebody who says, wait, actually no, I'm not right. The chacham is not somebody who is always right. It's the chacham is the one who says, wait, and now that you've given me that argument, I'm going to reanalyze the situation. And indeed, the Gemara says that in Gemara Ksuvos, the Gemara says in Ksuvos 42b, it says, Yachol ani letaretz kach, awasha eineni rotzel letaretz teretz dochuk. He says, I'm able to give that answer, but I don't want to give a forced answer. And indeed, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who taught us this, because Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu once was taught halacha by Aaron HaKohen and by his brother Aaron, and Moshe Rabbeinu was not embarrassed to say, that he made a mistake there. And so therefore we see from here that this is the idea of Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva says, you know what, my student Rabbi Yehuda, he's right in this circumstances, and I was wrong, and Rabbi Akiva chazar l'shanos kmo Rabbi Yehuda.